Well, we are indeed pleased to have back here on the program Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. For a long time, he was guest on the program, and we did this every month so that folks listening would have this chance to call in and ask questions. Maybe you got some kind of problem around the house. Something needs to be fixed. You're not quite sure how to approach it. Maybe you're thinking about making some changes, doing some remodeling, any and all that kind of thing. Hank knows a lot about what goes into the house, all the various pieces and parts. So I know he'll do his best to help you out. All you have to do is pick up the telephone and give us a call. 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. Any point here, as soon as we get calls, we'll start taking them. And you'll come right here to the show. Pledging is not required. It's nice, but it's not required. Well, it's good to have you here. Appreciate it.
Good to be back.
I don't know where it is we want to start. We've had a lot of rain lately. I know around my neighborhood we've had some people who have some issues with water in their basement.
Moisture is the major problem at this point, yes. And a good portion of it is caused by the fact that we don't properly grade the lawns around our houses so that water runs away. Generally speaking, there should be 6 inches of slope in the first 10 feet away from the house all the way around. And if you have downspouts, we need to get extensions on them that will drop the water at least 5 feet away at a point where it will continue to run off. And because most of the problem that we end up with here in this area is water.
Yeah. I think that sometimes it's, you know, I have heard you give that piece of advice like so many times over the years and have shared that with people I know. And sometimes I think, though, it's, you know, depending on what the lay of the land is around your house, that can be almost impossible. For example, a couple of doors down from me, there's someone who is lucky enough to live up on a little hill. Mm-hmm. But I am in kind of a low spot. You know, I've done as much in terms of having slope away from the house as I possibly can. So if you've done that and you know that your gutters are in good shape and that you got your downspouts well away from the foundation, mm-hmm. past that point, what can you do? Is there much that you can do?
Well, it all depends. We have some very unusual soil conditions here since we're on a terminal moraine in this area. And we mm-hmm. don't know what the soil is like 10 feet away from anything we can do. I got some water in my basement this year for the first time in 40 years.
Wow. It has been kind of on the wet side.
It's been on the wet side, yes. And it's one of those things where I started getting water when someone started digging a new basement a half a block away because they apparently disturbed the subsurface drainage system that had been in effect for centuries. Mm-hmm. And so I had to put in a sump pump.
So your house was so dry that before that you felt you didn't even need a sump pump.
No, I didn't need a sump pump. I figured if by the time I got water, the arc had better be done. And because my house is level with the top of the stadium.
Ah, well, okay. You're in a high spot then.
I'm on a high spot.
You're doing okay.
Very good. There is what we call a perched water table there. In other words, there's a layer of clay about 4 feet down, and all the water that hits it soaks down, hits that, and can't get through it. And I know there was a new house built 20 years ago or so, about a block away from me, and they dug through that when they put in the basement. Mm-hmm. The sump pump didn't shut off for 3 years. And so we can run into some significant water problems. And the fact that we get drenching rains here is part of the problem. The other difficulty that we run into is that our builders in this area don't really flash doors and windows particularly well. Mm-hmm. I've seen better flashings in Arizona and Utah where it doesn't rain. So we're in the process of trying to educate the builders and remodelers and so on as to how to flash the windows and doors so that it doesn't leak when we get one of these downpours.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I gave our telephone number here. A lot of people know that number by heart, but let me give it to you again. 333-9455 if you want to call in on the show and you're here in Champaign-Urbana. 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one would be good anywhere that you can hear us. And if it's a long-distance call, use that number, 800-222-9455. This morning, the guest, Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. It's our monthly show on home maintenance. Well, what about, you know, from time to time, I know we've had calls from people who have moisture issues in their basement, and they say, well, I saw an ad for a company that says we can make sure that you have a dry basement, and they offer some kind of sealant, so they say, that would be applied to the maybe to the floor and to the walls inside in the basement, something that they would paint on, apparently, and they say, well, that'll keep water from seeping in. Will that work?
Probably not. Water has a lot of pressure when you get a little height on it, and it, generally speaking, concrete is not watertight. So you can put coatings on it that will help, mm-hmm. but generally speaking, you still have to get rid of the stuff. And a lot of these people go in the basement and they cut through the floor and dig a trench and put a tile around the edge of the basement, and that usually works. It's not inexpensive and it's messier than heck, but it does work. But basically, if we can keep the water away from the house, that's the object.
Right. All right. Well, I think we have a caller here, our first caller ready to go, someone on our line number one, so let's talk with them. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Urbana. I have a 30-year-old ranch, and I need to replace the driveway. It's cracked, and I want to go from a 2-car driveway to a 3-car driveway. And I guess my questions are, what are some of the key features I'll want in that driveway, for example, in terms of reinforcement or putting in spacers, this kind of thing? And then the second question is, how do I find a reasonable cost contractor that will do a good job, a quality job? So those are my questions. I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well,
as far as the last question, basically you've got to ask around and see who your friends and neighbors have had good luck with. If you call my office later on in the day, I might be able to give you a couple of people to at least check on. But basically what we need on your driveway is a drainage layer underneath it. We need to pour the driveway over a few inches of gravel that is drained and so on. And definitely it needs expansion joints in it, because either concrete or asphalt expands and contracts with changes in temperature and moisture and things like this. And if you don't provide expansion joints, it will crack. Mm-hmm. And that's the usual problem. Now, of course, we want to have things firmly compacted underneath so that the weight of the garbage truck backing up your driveway doesn't break it and that sort of thing. So we've got to have a good solid base drained, and then with the appropriate expansion joints in it.
Do you have strong feelings about the material for a driveway? Because I'm sure that there can be a big difference in the cost, whether you have concrete
or asphalt.
Or asphalt, or I suppose you can have a crushed gravel driveway as well.
Yeah, you can. That's the cheapest.
Yeah.
and obviously you don't have to worry about expansion joints because it isn't solid. So but no, it depends an awful lot on exactly what you plan to do in your driveway, how much time you spend. Is it become a play area? This type of thing has a lot to do with it. How good are you at shoveling snow? this type of thing. The gravel really stinks for that.
Yes, I have a gravel driveway, and it's kind of problematic.
Yeah. But so it all depends upon what your individual situation is, what seems to fit in with the appearance of your house and garage and so on. But either one of them properly done can work. Obviously, we make interstate highways out of both of them. So if it'll hold an interstate, why, it should hold up your driveway.
Mm-hmm.
But we always have this interesting problem with the English language in that, you know, we drive on a parkway and park on a driveway. So that's one of the problems we have in teaching people English.
Yeah. Well, other questions are welcome. Hank Spies is our guest from the Spies Home Inspection Service. This is a program that we do every month on a Monday, and we've been doing it for a long time so that you can have a regular opportunity to call in and ask questions about home maintenance. So if you got a problem, something needs to be fixed, you're not quite sure how to approach it, give us a call. 333-9455. That's the Champaign-Urbana number. We also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. And we have another caller here, and that is line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
I just called about driveway, and I have a couple of follow-up questions.
Oh, sure.
One was... on the reinforcement to put in the concrete, and it seems like there's a wire mesh or there's rebars. So some comments on what, you know, which one and how many or whatever.
Well, generally speaking, properly installed, either one works. Usually for car traffic, we use just the mesh. If you're going to be backing trucks up it, then probably rebar is more appropriate. But... concrete bonds well to either of them, so if you have an appropriate amount of reinforcement in it, you can back almost anything up there.
Okay, and then another question is the depth of the concrete, and then let's say it's going to be 4 inches, or should be at least 4 inches. When one puts an expansion joint in, does that expansion material go through the whole layer, all 4 inches?
Yes.
Sometimes visually it looks like it doesn't, but...
No, it has to go all the way through.
Okay. Okay. And depth of concrete?
Well, minimum 4.
Oh, okay.
It depends. As I say, if you're going to run a garbage truck up, it probably 6.
No, it's really just for cars.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Let's talk next with someone in Pontiac. This is line 4. Hello.
Hi. Let's stick with driveways for a minute.
Okay.
My city, in their wisdom, covered the brick street where my driveway meets it with a blacktop, which is crumbling. But it changed so that now where my driveway sloped out onto the street, now it kind of slopes into a puddle at the end of my driveway. It collects leaves and dirt and junk. And it's a concrete driveway. Is there any kind of brick overlay or something I could put just on that apron that might make it drain better?
Well, you can raise it so that you have some slope to get it away. But other than that, unless there's something to take the water away as it's coming off the driveway, you've got a major problem.
Yeah, it just sits there, and it's just a mess. But
yes.
I didn't know if I'd have to completely undo that apron and put a new one down, or... if there's something I could put over that would raise it.
Yes, very often we put a layer of asphalt over it that will raise it up a bit.
Okay.
And but at each side of the driveway, is there a drain? The water is still going to come down the driveway. It has to go somewhere.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks.
All right. Thank you. Is that the kind of situation where you could do mud jacking? Could you actually raise the apron up so it would meet the street?
Yes, you can. This is a process by where they drill holes through the concrete and use a high-pressure pump to pump more concrete underneath it and raise it actually up. We often suggest doing this where your patio has settled so it slopes toward the house or something of this sort. But we seldom see it done on driveways, but certainly it can be done.
All right. Well, let's go next to someone in Champaign, and this would be line number 2. Hello.
Hi. I hope you don't have a problem with my accent. And I have a question related with water in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you already talked something about it, but I hear the last part. This is a problem. Every time we have a strong rain, we have a lot of water, and my husband and I spend 2-3 hours taking the water out. So we hire somebody who came home, make an excavation by the wall where we get the water, check all the pipes. He say everything is fine. He put something like painting, black thing, and then he put plastic by the wall and in a horizontal way. And after the first rain, we have water again in the basement. So what I did is just put a big plastic, black plastic on top, even if it looked very bad in my outside the house. We stopped the rain. So I wonder what we can do. Somebody suggests that maybe we make some kind of a slope, because we don't have a slope going to the street, so the water go that way. Other way, I don't know what to do, because look like the plastic we put there stopped the water coming inside. But what the guys did, and they charge a lot of money, did nothing for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my question. What can we do? Or a suggestion. I know we do have some, what is the name, pump. But also the floor in the basement has a wrong slope. Instead of go to the pump, it goes to the other direction, so the water goes all over the place.
That's
where we need it.
Yeah, that doesn't help if it won't drain towards where the pump is. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So I don't know.
That might be one of the places where we could use some mud jacking to change the slope of the basement floor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it sloped toward the pump.
Yeah, that will be. I mean, because we have a lot of stuff in there, and we get room furniture, the tiles on the floor, they already come up, you know.
Yes, I'm... Quite familiar with the problem.
A little bit of water, what the guys eat, but we're still getting water, and it's not that little.
Well, we did one thing that we did talk about a little earlier, and maybe this sounds like it might be part of the problem, is having the right slope outside, sloping away from the house to help take the water away.
Yeah, okay. We've got to get the water away, and preferably we want to get rid of it before it gets to the basement. We want to take it off on the surface. So it may be a matter of grading and downspout extensions and so on to keep the water away to begin with.
Okay, that would be great. So we need to hire somebody else, I guess, or do it ourselves. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Just and real quick on the subject of downspouts, how far away from the foundation should the downspout be?
At least 5 feet.
Okay. So, I'll bet that there are a lot of places we could go around and we could find people whose downspouts came out. Yeah, about two feet from where
or
the foundation
one.
Is. Or one.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
And, of course, one of the problems we run into is whenever you dig a basement, you build the walls and then you backfill the hole around the walls. And that dirt settles during the first couple of years. So we end up with a moat around our castle and water will fill it. So we've got most new houses need another truckload or two of dirt when it's about 2 years old to restore the original slope. And unfortunately, I have never found a city inspector that seems to enforce the slope standards.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that probably a lot of people can do that for themselves. It's just a matter
Absolutely.
Of having somebody come bring you the dirt, and then you got to get your wheelbarrow and some shovels and just start moving it around.
Yeah, it's not easy, but yes, it can be done.
All right. We're taking your questions this morning for Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. It's our monthly show on home maintenance. Our goal in doing these shows is to give you a regular opportunity to get some expert advice on common problems around the home. And, you know, we do a lot of shows here on Focus 580 that basically are dedicated to trying to help you solve problems. Well, we have a little problem here this week. And the problem is that, Martha Deal is one of our producers. She says maybe it's not so little. The problem is we need a certain amount of money in the bank so that we can pay for next year's programs. That's what we're doing here this week. We're raising the money that we'll pay for next year's programs. We're hoping that we can sign up some people who have never supported the station before. So if you've been listening for a while and you're not a contributor, why don't you call us? 244-9455 and to make a contribution, or you can do that online at willpledge.org. Either way, you will help us meet the goal of raising the money to pay for the programs. Martha Deal, she's one of our producers. She's here in the studio with me.
You know, and I'm looking at my script very carefully, picking out what I'm going to say next. And the thing that I focused on is we count on you to help. And I was thinking how helpful this program is to a number of you out there and how you count on us having programs that help you. And it's kind of a mutual thing here. We support each other. We bring you news and information, and you provide us with the funding that helps keep us going. Please pick up the phone and call 217-244-9455 and make this community resource continue.
We're here as a, we hope, kind of a public service. That's where, you know, we're the, this is the University of Illinois, and we like to think that we're a kind of extension in a way, that we're bringing expertise and ideas to people in the community. And all you got to do to get that is just to turn your radio on. And we even say on programs like this, something specific you want to know, call in, talk to the person, ask the question, question them about what they're saying. Tell them you think they're all wet, if that's what you do think. You know, that's okay.
Speaking of downspouts.
That's okay. but that, you know, that's a kind of, we hope it's a kind of public service. And we people respond all the time. Certainly, they respond by calling into the show. Well, right now, we hope that you will respond with a different kind of call, and that is a pledge call. We're working on the money that will support next year's programs, and the only really reliable place we can go for that money is you. So, again, if you haven't yet done it, why don't you do that? Make a call, make a contribution. Now is a great time. We'll only be here through 10 o'clock tomorrow morning in the spring fundraising effort.
You know, if you prefer to make your gift online, simply go to our secure website, willpledge.org. A contribution of $75 makes you eligible for the Will Member Card. Discounts, restaurants all around Illinois, bed and breakfast, and online shopping. And it wouldn't surprise me if in there was a hardware store. I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. It's an expanding program. So go online, willpledge.org, or call 217-244-9455, and thank you.
And thank you. We're halfway through this first hour of Focus 580. Our guest is Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. It's our monthly home maintenance show. You have a question? Give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. We'll get back to the phones here, and the next caller is in Germantown Hills on our line 3. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I have another driveway question.
Okay.
We had a new concrete driveway put in last year. The house is about 22 years old, and we replaced an existing asphalt driveway. Anyway, one of the things that's always concerned me about concrete is surface spalling. And as you walk down the street, you see some driveways that look almost brand new despite their age, and others that look like they've been attacked by smallpox. I had a long conversation with the contractor about making sure that this driveway would not spall. And he said, well, the only thing I can tell you is that we use good materials and we mix everything properly. And it's your job to keep salt off your driveway as best you can at least for the first year. We tried to do that. It was a tough winter and we had to use a little bit because there's quite a slope to the driveway. Anyway, now we have some spalling problems at scattered points. In a few places, it may be areas where salt would drip off the cars, you know, salt I picked up on the highway. But there are other places where a car has never ventured, and still we have spalling there. What causes spalling? And now that I've got this year-old driveway with a few pock marks in it, is there anything I can do to treat it to lessen the continuation of spalling?
Well, basically, spalling is caused by water being absorbed into the concrete and then freezing and popping everything loose. And generally speaking, they are correct in that salt does tend to deteriorate concrete. So that their advice there is good. But yes, I've seen many cases where water drips off cars and so on, and spalling will occur. About the only thing you can do once it has spalled is to go back and trowel some patching compound over it and then try and put a water repellent coating on it so that water does not soak into the concrete. And
okay. Wait, should you coat the entire driveway?
No, with the water repellent, yes. But you don't have to top coat it with a cement-based product. You can just do that in the area that has already spalled.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. This is something that, you know, we've talked about before with brick, because you have the same kind of problem with brick.
Exactly.
And though one of the things I remember you saying is that you don't want to seal it, because at least with brick, you want to make sure that if any moisture gets in back behind the bricks, it can get out.
Yeah. But we want a water repellent.
You want a repellent.
Right.
So is that the same thing with the driveway?
Yeah, basically, yes.
Okay. And that would be something that you go to Home Center, someplace like that?
Yes.
Just some product that you would just literally go out there and spray probably around the driveway?
In all probability, yes.
Okay. And that's the kind of thing that most people could do for themselves?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. All right. Let's call, let's see what we got here. Line number one. No. How about line number four? And this is Bourbonus, I think, line number four. Hey, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I tuned in just as Mr. Suisse was finishing up talking about pumping high pressure concrete under high pressure. And I thought this could be just what I've been looking for the sidewalk that's right on the side of my house that over the years has ended up being pitched toward the house.
Absolutely. The mud jacking process would be just exactly what you need for that.
It mud jacking?
Yes.
M-U-D-J-A-C-K-I-N-G?
Right.
Okay. Is that a better deal than ripping out the sidewalk and starting over? Is that
cheaper? Be a lot cheaper.
No kidding. And is that in pretty much widespread use?
Well, we have two or three firms here in Champaign that do it. I don't know who in the Kankakee area does, but I would imagine there's someone there who does mud jacking, yes.
Wow, that would be wonderful. Okay, well.
I would check with one of the concrete suppliers, and they probably have customers who do this and could refer you to them.
Makes sense, yes. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Your son does a fine job, but it's very nice to have you back on the air.
Right. Oh, thank you.
Thanks. We think so, too. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. So just to make sure people understand what we're talking about here, when you're talking about mud, you're not talking about mud. We're talking about concrete.
Right. Right. It's about the consistency of mud.
Uh-huh. So it's a liquid enough. So, and then what they do is they literally would, in a case like that, they would drill holes through the piece of sidewalk.
Right.
And then inject.
Inject a special pump that will pump this material down, and it will raise the concrete up by its bootstraps, sort of. Yes, I've mud-jacked my front sidewalk because I had this same problem with the backfill around the basement settled and so on. And
as you say, it's the kind of thing, it's been used on patios, can be used on sidewalk. I guess if some people have used this if they have poured concrete steps on the front of their houses, and they've settled in some strange
way. Well, they've settled enough so that the top step is too high getting into the house, and jack it up.
Yeah, all right.
Make it fit very nicely. It works quite well.
All right. Up next, I think we have someone in Bloomington, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a question about the driveways again. Our back alley has been repeatedly raised by additional asphalt being put on it, and so there's really no place for water to drain, but our concrete pad is broken up quite a bit, and it seems to me that after a rain, the water is just draining through those cracks, it's slowly draining through those cracks. But if we were to replace the driveway, I'm not sure of any way to get it to drain away from the garage and the yard. So,
This is a problem because when they do that, somebody conveniently forgets the fact you need to put a drain tile parallel to the paving, and that it will take the water away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the subdivision that I lived in, the subdivision ordinance requires drains under driveways.
Okay.
I think I have the only house in the subdivision that actually has one.
All right. But I was wondering, in our situation, are there any options other than some kind of a porous substance like a crushed gravel or?
Well, that can certainly, water will drain through gravel. It doesn't do it very rapidly. And you don't want to use crushed limestone. You want to use washed rock.
Okay.
In other words, river gravel.
Okay.
Because the water doesn't go through the crushed as bad as quickly, and it tends to break down, and
right.
The river rock doesn't.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Someone here in Champaign County, where we are. Next, line number two. Hello.
Oh, that was quick. I wanted to go back to the water problem, and I know from listening to Hank in the past that he's down on cisterns, but I think if you have a good cistern, and even if it's leaking, it impounds the water. And now there are people putting rain barrels out to impound water. I don't know if that would actually help in a gusher. No. But my cistern would handles a whole lot of water off of my roof, and it does leak, but it certainly handles
it slows it down considerably.
Handles it for quite a while.
And here, cisterns seem to work. I do a lot of work in the West as well, and there you're not allowed to have one because they want all the water to run into the rivers because that's where the irrigation comes from.
Yeah, I heard there's actually a suit about that in Colorado or something where the developer is putting in rain barrels and integrated water management, and the city's saying you can't do that, which is really pretty bizarre. But if you live in an arid region, I guess that goes with the territory. It's the opposite problem of us, generally.
I have several properties in Colorado, and yes, that is a problem.
Yeah, I had a question about working on high soffits. I have soffits that are higher up than, and I'm rather than just looking at the rental of a scaffolding or something like that, I wonder if there are any other options like ladder jacks. And they have these new fancy ladders, but I don't know whether you people are working like with platforms or something like that. I could use a ladder jack eventually, so I was thinking of even finding one to buy that I could use at a later time and not just for the
Well, that's probably a good solution because you don't really need a tremendous amount of space up there. Basically, you just need something to stand on.
Right.
And, yes, the newer ladders are designed to hold them. I have about 5 ladders made by Little Giant, and they are very sturdy and yet collapse and store and handle easily.
Well, this now I'm getting a little now you say there's this is a system of actual sort of small ladder that's actually works as a scaffold, or are you talking about a
well it's strong enough to hang the scaffold on?
I see. So they're sort of, you have to, you can't just get a ladder jack that would hang on a old just aluminum ladder or something, or you can, but
you can, it depends on the ladder.
Yeah.
And some ladders are a lot stronger than others. Where we use them 3 or 4 times a day, we have some very nice ones, not inexpensive, very sturdy. I've had one that I've been climbing on for almost 20 years.
Right. Well, I always use lots of ropes. I rope the ladder, you know, put a spike in, and so I think I'm not going to do anything unsafe, but
basically, is your ladder strong enough to carry the ladder jacks and the load on the platform? Because there's going to be you on the platform and probably whatever you're working with, it may be shingles or whatever, on the platforms. So you have to be sure that the ladder itself is strong enough to hold it, because it's putting a different direction of strain on it than the fact that the way you're climbing on it.
Right. So, with an old ladder, you wouldn't know how it's rated. I guess there's a little too much detail for the air, but I guess it gave me some tips to look around for how to solve the problem. Thanks.
Okay. On to another caller here. Someone on cell phone. This is line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I had a question about attic heat. We have a 60-year-old home, the Cape Cod, the soffits do not extend past the wall of the house, but it does have knee walls on the inside that are open and insulated, and open to the attic, like through the rafters. And then it has gable vents at each end of the house.
Ventilating behind the knee walls.
Right. The gable vents are in the roof, at the top of where the roof area is.
Yes.
But the knee walls actually go up. They're open through the roof rafters. So
yes.
Is that adequate ventilation?
I think so. How hot does it get up there in the summertime?
I try to avoid going up there.
Okay.
The house is 60 years old. I think this is I just put a new roof on, a 50-year roof, and I think this is the third roof that's been on it.
Well, it's doing pretty good then, because it is venting reasonably well, wouldn't have gotten that kind of life out of the roof.
Yeah. Well, I did put when I bought the house, I put a power vent into one of the gables.
So excellent idea.
To draw air across the top, but when I had the new roof put on, I maybe should have put in a ridge vent, but I didn't think of it.
It would have been very desirable to have a ridge vent. That's probably the most efficient way. That and the combination of soffit vents, and there are some vents made specifically to put at the bottom edges of roof where the soffit does not extend out past the house.
Oh, there is.
That provides ventilation, yes.
Is it difficult to put a ridge vent in after the roof is put on?
No.
So that's an option.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Very good. Thank you. And we'll go again to someone again on cell phone. This is line 4. Hello.
Hi. Yes. I'm wondering if you can help me figure out what's causing a very foul sewer smell in one of our bathrooms. We had a plumber out to replace the wax seal, thinking that that was the problem, and still the smell persisted after the seal was replaced. So I had the plumber out again, and he replaced it again, and there's still the smell. And I thought, well, perhaps from the shower drain the smell is coming up. I put a plunger over that when we weren't using the shower. Still there's the smell. And now I think it's coming from our sink. When I turn the faucet on, especially, I get the smell, though the water does not taste bad. Does this make any sense?
Well, a lot depends on what kind of venting system you have on your sewer system. There should be a pipe that goes through the roof that is connected to these drains so that any smell and airflow would goes outside.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if that venting system is intact, or if it may have parts come apart in the attic or between floors.
Uh-huh.
It sounds to me like it might be more in between floors where the vent pipe could have come apart.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Okay, I'll check that out. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, thank you. We have time certainly for maybe about, a few more callers. At least we got another 5 minutes. Hank Spies is here. He is our guest from the Spies Home Inspection Service. This is a program we do every month for helping you out on home maintenance. We've been doing it for a long time. So questions are certainly welcome. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. Well, I'm taking a look at the long-term weather forecast, and it says that this weekend here in Champaign-Urbana, we might actually get to 80.
So we're that's what I've heard.
That's what they say. We'll see. It's a few days away. And I know our weather forecaster guys always like to say, well, you know, got to watch it on the long-term forecast. Anyway, so maybe it'll be that warm. Maybe some people are going to start thinking about turning on their air conditioning. And I'm sure that for, you know, a lot of folks, it hasn't been since last year that the air conditioning has been on. Is there anything that you would suggest people do just to take a look at it?
Well, particularly check and be sure that the filters are clean, because that makes all the difference in the world on the efficiency of the air conditioning. I was inspecting one on Thursday of last week where we couldn't get the system to work. And we started taking things apart and found that the filter was blocked. I don't know how they possibly heated or cooled the house.
So you're talking about the filter. We always say it's probably a good idea. You might want to change it every month, year-round.
Well, depending upon your situation, particularly if you have long-haired dogs, something like that.
Yeah.
But this entire system, neither the heating or cooling system would work because the filter was so thoroughly blocked. Now, if you've had that problem over a period of time, you may want to have an air conditioning man check the cooling coil, because if the dirt goes past the filter, the next thing it collects on is the cooling coil.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, one of the things you can do when the thing is running is to put a temperature at your thermometer at your return and another one at an outlet and see how much temperature drop there is across the system.
Okay, so from the comparing to where the cold air comes out to where it gets sucked back in to go back in. Okay.
So we see how much, if we get more than 10 degrees drop, there isn't enough air moving. If we don't get much of any drop, well, then you've got a different set of problems. But the amount of drop that we get through the system is a way of diagnosing some of those problems.
Okay, but definitely, if you haven't changed your filter in a couple of months, it'd probably be a good idea.
Probably be a good idea.
All right. Yeah. We have a few callers here. Let's just see if we can get them in. And the time that's left, Champagne, line one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about a leak that has appeared in the ceiling beneath a bathroom bathtub. And the caulking around the tub is completely secure. And this appears to only happen when the kid is taking a bath, not taking a shower. I'm wondering if I have any options besides tearing this entire tub out and starting over.
Well, it all depends. If you have an access where we can get to the, I would be checking a leak around the drain.
Right. Can the drain flange be removed and re-caulked or sealed?
Yes. Yes, it can be resealed, but the question is, is there a panel where you can look under the tub and this sort of thing so we can check it? Otherwise, you may have to produce a hole in the first floor ceiling to get to it.
Oh, right. The whole idea of the tub and the drain are a mystery. There's just a flange there, and it's hard to know. I can never understand exactly how tubs are installed. The tub surround is enclosed. How do you ever fasten a drain to a drain pipe to a tub once it's there?
Well, there's a flange that fits over the tub drain and connects to a pipe underneath.
Uh-huh.
And I'm concerned that the connection to that pipe may be leaking, or it may be corroded through. How old is the house?
Going on 30 years.
Yeah, it's quite possible that there could have been some corrosion in the drain pipe there that would be causing your problem.
So perhaps we start with trying to replace the flange or reseal the flange and then
a good experienced plumber ought to take a look at that and see what's going on underneath there. Because if you have any access panel that can be removed to see under the tub, he should be able to tell.
Okay. Sounds like I'm calling the plumber.
Afraid so.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck. Let's go on to Georgetown, line four. Hello.
Yes. Good morning. I'm taking. I have inherited my parents' home. It's over 100 years old. I'm going to have a man blow in some insulation in the attic, and I'm wondering how many inches it should be. And you were talking about vents, and I have no idea what vents are there or what kind. So maybe while he's up there, I could have him check that.
Yes, and a house that old, unless somebody has blown insulation in the walls, there probably isn't any there either.
I'm guessing, right.
And so I would be putting a minimum of 12 inches in the attic.
Okay.
And filling the outside walls wherever possible.
Okay. Now, this is a two-story home. The bottom, my dad remodeled in 74. And I'm sure he would have put insulation up, because they took all the lath and plaster down and put all drywall up. Sure, at that time, surely in 74, they would have put insulation.
I would think they would have, yes, but it may not on the up
part. But that's it. There was nothing. When he checked the attic, this man checked just recently, he said, no, there's maybe an 1 inch of insulation up there. Mm-hmm. So, and then what kind of vents would you recommend or should be there?
Well, I would consider putting on a ridge vent for the attic.
That's R-I-D-G-E, ridge?
Yes.
Okay.
The right at the peak of the roof. You take off that top row of shingles and put in a device that sheds water but allows air to blow through.
Okay.
And
well, there's a little bit of a problem on that right now because it has a slate roof on it.
Okay.
And I am going to replace the roof. That's what he's coming to replace the roof also. There is a T-shaped home, and then there was like porches all the way around and a kitchen and a porch. So of the T part, the leg of the T, all the way around, and I'm putting on new roof on that. But the original T part is slate.
Okay.
And I'm not going to do anything with that till I have a problem.
Not necessarily. You want to be sure that you have a roofer who is experienced with slate.
That's what I've heard, yes.
because it has its own peculiarities.
Right. Okay, and so if I can't put in this, what do you call, ridge vent, is there any other kind of vent?
You can put a vent in the gable ends, and with or without a fan.
Okay.
But when they're putting in the ventilation, the insulation up there, be sure that they seal tightly around any pipes that come up through the walls.
Okay.
This sort of thing.
All right. There's only one register that comes up. It's the old kind of house where the register came up in the hallway.
Yeah.
So there's no registers, and there's no bathroom or any pipes, I think, that are upstairs at all.
Well, probably there's at least vent pipes for the plumbing system that should be coming through the wall.
Okay, and be sure those are sealed good.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much. And if you go the way of the ridge vent, then do you also have to have soffit vents, or will that work without soffit vents?
It works better with some soffit venting.
Right. So some place for it to draw the air from, so you want to get the air moving in the direction you want it to move.
Right.
Yeah. We're just about the point we have to finish up. Any last thing you'd like to leave with folks?
No, I think that will cover it. And if they have further questions, they can try calling my office, and we don't charge for phone calls.
All right. Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He's been a guest on the show for, I don't know, how long?
25 years.
25 years. Pretty much almost as long as we've been doing the show. He's been here to do the show.